And now, it's time for our weekly news round. Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
On Tuesday, April the 22nd, an historic event took place in the library at Westfield House in Cambridge, the presentation of letters patent granting arms, crest and badge to Westfield House. The presentation was made to Dr. Cynthia Lumley, the principal, by Mr. Hugh Duberly, 6 CBE, Her Majesty's Lord Lieutenant of Cambridgeshire, with Mr. Peter O'Donoghue, Her Majesty's Herald of Arms, and Councillor Paul Saunders, Mayor of Cambridge, and the Reverend John Ehlers, Chairman of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England. Almost every UK university and college has their own coat of arms, and it has been a long-term dream for Westfield House, the Theological College of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England, to have heraldic arms, crest and badge. Work on the design started in the mid-1970s, however, the high cost forced the project to be shelved. More recently, the Sukup Family Foundation in Hampton, Iowa, USA, agreed to provide the necessary funding, all thanks and praise to God. Westfield House tutor Jonathan Mummy and Reverend David Jackson worked with Mr. Peter O'Donoghue, Her Majesty's York Herald, to design the heraldic arms, crest and badge for Westfield House. A right to arms can only be established by registration in the official records of the College of Arms, which was founded in 1484. As explained on their website, arms and crests, badges and supporters are granted by letters patent issued by the most senior heralds, the Kings of Arms. They act according to powers delegated to them by the Crown, and all grants are therefore made under Crown authority. The applicant body must be registered or situated in England or Wales, or in another territory or country of which the Queen is head of state. It must be well established, of sound financial standing, and be a leading or respected body in its field. The Westfield House petition was submitted to the College of Arms, and now that it has been approved and design completed, the arms, crest and badge will feature on the new Westfield House website as well as on Westfield House stationery. Many congratulations to Westfield House from Lutheran Radio, UK. Prime Minister David Cameron was accused Monday of sowing sectarianism and division after his repeated assertions that Britain is still a Christian country, proving how problematic it remains to mix faith and British politics. More than 50 public figures from the arts and sciences signed an open letter rejecting Cameron's characterisation of multicultural, multi-faith Britain and warning that such a claim fosters alienation and division in our society. Their criticism came after Cameron used an Easter message to urge Britons to be more evangelical about their religion and more confident about our status as a Christian country. The Conservative leader has always been open about his Church of England faith, but in the past has said his belief in God goes in and out, comparing it to an unreliable radio signal. In recent weeks, he's been increasingly outspoken, however, dispensing with the trend set by his predecessors for discreet Anglican faith that will not upset secular Britain. Some people feel that in this ever more secular age, we shouldn't talk about these things. I completely disagree, Cameron wrote last week in the Church Times, an Anglican newspaper. I believe we should be more confident about our status as a Christian country, more ambitious about expanding the role of faith-based organisations, and frankly, more evangelical about a faith that compels us to get out there and make a difference to people's lives. In an open letter organised by the British Humanist Association and published in the Daily Telegraph newspaper, critics disputed Cameron's claim that Britain is still a Christian country. While the established Church of England runs state-funded schools and has Queen Elizabeth II as its supreme governor, the signatories noted many Britons do not identify themselves as Christian. Constantly to claim otherwise fosters alienation and division in our society, said the letter, signed by writers Philip Pullman and Terry Pratchett, and the Nobel Prize-winning scientists John Sulston and Harold Croteau. They added that highlighting the social contribution of Christians above others needlessly fuels enervating sectarian debates. The majority, 59.3% of people in England and Wales, said they were Christian in the last census in 2011, but this is down from 71.7% 10 years earlier. The number of those reporting no religion was 25.1%, up from 14.8% in 2001. Among them, Deputy Prime Minister Nick Clegg, the leader of the Liberal Democrats, and opposition Labour leader Ed Miliband. Cameron's new public evangelism may help build bridges with the church, which opposed the introduction of gay marriage last year, and whose members have criticised the impact of the government's austerity measures. but the criticism he has provoked is a reminder of how tricky the issue can be. Former Labour Prime Minister Tony Blair was a devout Christian, but his spokesman Alistair Campbell stopped him answering questions about his faith, once declaring, "We don't do God." Blair converted to Catholicism after leaving the office in 2007, but said he was reticent to discuss faith before then because you always get into trouble talking about it. While it was commonplace in the United States and elsewhere for politicians to talk about their religious convictions, Blair told the BBC, "You talk about it in our system, and frankly, people do think you're a nutter." A spokesman for Cameron said the Prime Minister had made clear as far back as December 2011 that he believed Britain was a Christian country, although he recognises the importance of different faith groups. He has said on many occasions that he is incredibly proud that Britain is home to many different faith communities who do so much to make the UK a stronger country, she said. A 37-year-old British nurse recounted Tuesday her hellish experience in Sri Lanka after she was arrested and sent to a deportation centre for sporting a Buddha tattoo deemed offensive by authorities. Naomi Coleman was arrested at the country's main international airport on Monday shortly after her arrival on a flight from neighbouring India and appeared before a magistrate who ordered her deportation, police said in a statement. "It is a terrible, hellish experience," Coleman, a mental health nurse from Coventry in England, told AFP by telephone at the Sri Lankan deportation centre. "I am a practicing Buddhist and meditate, that is why I have the tattoo, not out of disrespect for Buddhism." Earlier, pulling up a white t-shirt, Coleman displayed for an AFP photographer the tattoo of a meditating Buddha seated on a pink lotus flower on the upper part of her right arm. She said the tattoo had never created problems when she had visited the country twice before, or even in other Buddhist countries like Thailand and Cambodia. Coleman said that she was never told what charges were brought against her, but was held for 6 hours and harassed by police for bribes. She paid 5,000 rupees, $38, for a lawyer who did not help her, she added. "I cried, I'm very afraid," she told AFP. Sri Lanka, a majority Buddhist nation, is highly sensitive to perceived insults to their religion. Brunei has postponed its implementation of tough Islamic criminal punishments that were due to begin Tuesday and has drawn condemnation from the UN's Human Rights Office and rare criticism at home. No confirmed new date was given for the start of the Sharia penalties, which will eventually include flogging, severing of limbs, and death by stoning. But an official told Brunei media that they would begin in the very near future. Juya Zaini, assistant director of the oil-rich Sultanate's Islamic Legal Unit, was quoted by the Brunei Times as saying implementation had been delayed due to unavoidable circumstances. He did not elaborate or give a new date. Brunei's Sultan Hassan al-Bolkiah, the driving force behind Sharia, is visiting Singapore, and the government is believed to be waiting for the all-powerful Islamic monarch to return before introducing the sensitive legal code. But the delay could feed perceptions of hesitation by the 67-year-old Sultan, one of the world's wealthiest men, who earlier this year faced a backlash from the country's social media-savvy citizens. The new criminal code will phase in punishments, including execution by stoning for offences such as sodomy and adultery, severing of limbs for theft, and flogging for violations ranging from abortion to alcohol consumption. Authorities have in recent weeks conducted a series of briefings for official agencies and non-government organisations to explain Sharia. "When you're trying to make such a leap, issues will arise," said Nizam Bashir, a Malaysian attorney and rights activist who practices both civil and Sharia law. "Once you start getting feedback, then questions will arise that will give them food for thought that will not be in line with their initial conception." However, he said it was unlikely the criminal code will be scrapped. A reminder to listeners of Lutheran Radio UK that we will be at the Christian Resources Exhibition in Sandown Park in Esher, Surrey from the 13th to the 16th of May. Please visit our stand, G4, at the Media and Internet Sector in the main hall. The Christian Resources Exhibition is the biggest in the UK, and you will be astonished and pleased at the vast amount of resources available there. But best of all, you will meet the broadcasters of LR UK. The Congregational Life Conference will take place at Christ Lutheran Church in Petswood in Kent on Saturday the 24th of May. At this conference, mission training from both God's Word and case studies of mission approaches taken by Lutheran Hour ministries in the several countries and different environments they operate in. On Sunday, the 27th of May, the Reverend Kirby will preach at Christ Church's Divine Service beginning at 10:30 a.m. The Reverend Peter Kirby has served as Lutheran Hour Ministries Regional Director for Europe since September 2012. His primary responsibilities include oversight and leadership support for the expanding work of Lutheran Hour Ministry Centres in Russia, Kazakhstan and Latvia. And finally, a family is suing a US school district, contending that the phrase "under God" in the Pledge of Allegiance discriminates against atheist children. The lawsuits against the Matawan Aberdeen Regional School District in New Jersey was filed in state court last month and was announced by the American Humanist Association. The group says the phrase, added in 1954, marginalizes atheist and humanist kids as something less than ideal patriots. The anonymous plaintiffs say that these two words, "under God," violate the state constitution. The school district lawyer David Rubin says the district is merely following a state law that requires schools to have a daily recitation of the pledge. He says individual students do not have to participate.
My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.
On your PC, tablet, mobile phone, and internet radio receiver, this is Lutheran Radio UK.